Tell them every woman ain't Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour. Paul started Sabbatarian congregation about now the 12th hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is January 6, 2023. All right, it is the 15th day of Shavuot, 2026. He touched me. Shabbat meet the Lord of guilt and shame. And the hand of Yahshua touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he comes and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I shall his far eternity roam. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and felt the joy that fed my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. We're going to continue our service. We're going to, our first service for today, taking part two of Mount Zion at the 11th hour by the V.T. Hollis, track 8. We're dealing with the everlasting kingdom of David in a new way that we haven't seen 100% until now. And it should be very interesting for those who've been following our studies through the years to learn about this new everlasting kingdom of heaven that, and the earth made new, is going to be under a whole new supervision of the descendants here of earth. It's going to be under the supervision of the descendants of David. Under the descendants of David. And of course David is descendant of Abraham. It's like everybody else is. But David is put in charge of the everlasting kingdom of heaven and the new earth. And he's taken over from the house of Abraham. But Yahshua has taken charge of the kingdom of David just like he did the kingdom of Abraham. So he's still Yahshua in charge. Just like he's in charge of the kingdom coming out of Egypt with Moses. So we're going to be on Mount Zion at the 11th hour. It's going to be on page 23. And we're going to pick up where we left off, do a little review from our last study. On page 21, the last paragraph. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. At the time of the sealing of the 144,000, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east heaven, the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. The sea means the old country. The earth means the United States. Saying, hurt not the earth, the United States, remnant. I'll add that part. Neither the sea, and that's the remnant of all the other nations, nor the trees, meaning their ministers, leaders, the ones that are appointed by heaven, not these false ministers, of these Jesuits that's infiltrated every denomination around the world, every institution around the world, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their forehead, Revelation 7, 1 to 3. So now, what does it mean, till we? Who is this pronoun, we? This is Yahshua talking. And Yahshua says he's in charge of bringing forth that the 144,000 out of the Adventist church. That's what he came back to earth the second time for, was to take charge of the harvest of the first fruits and closing out the Seventh-day Adventist church. He himself personally in charge. And he started that at the Passover 2002 at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas with Rodos Johnson. On the very Passover night, 2002, that's when Yahshua took charge of Gilead Center himself personally. And it's obvious, if anybody was there to witness the scene, they would know that there was a high power from heaven that has came down and take over the spirit of that church. That church was full of darkness. It was full of evil, and all the inhabitants of that church had turned diabolically evil and full of hatred, except my wife, Alan DeLong, and myself. Only three of us that retained a right spirit, and that's the one that Yahshua come and used take over the charge of Gilead Center. Only those that had the true vision of what they were called for, that's what we were called for. Three of us. We were called to take over. Yahshua came and actually made the change. He took the reins out of Rodos' hands and put them into my hand. And I announced it and I showed the evidence of it from everything. And we indeed did take over. As soon as we got the kingdom secured in our hands, Yahshua, he took a whole year from Passover of 2002 to the second Passover of 2003, and that was 13 months later that we were there. That Yahweh secured us. It took 13 months to secure us as the new leaders to do the complete takeover from Kermit, Texas. I'm not going to explain why it worked that way, but I do know why. So now here says, this we is Yahshua and the house of David of the tribe of Judah. That's the we that took over. And believe it or not, it took over the kingdom of Esau at Gilead Center, and that was Rodos Johnson was in charge of the kingdom of Esau. And all you gotta do is go to Obadiah, only one chapter, and that whole chapter, through 21 verses, explains this very thing about the antitypical house of David's saviors coming upon Mount Zion. What Mount Zion? Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Because when the Mount Zion's 11th hour was over at the Passover night, starting at the Passover night 2002, then you had the Mount Zion at the 12th hour then connecting up and being put in charge of the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of Esau, Rodos Johnson had for 33 and a half years, He did not. That was not the everlasting kingdom of heaven. That was not the kingdom prophesied in Daniel 2:44-45. But in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, those kings that those ten toes of that image represented appeared in the 12th hour, not in the 11th parabolic hour. And so therefore, Rodas Johnson could not be that kingdom to bring forth the 144,000. He could only be the leadership of that kingdom that came to its end as the kingdom of Mount Edom. Now go read Obadiah, that one chapter, those 21 verses, go read it. And you'll find out that it used mentions those very words. Brother Johnson was the one that was in charge. And we know the prophecy and the type for Esau and Jacob. We know that Esau inherited the birthright. We know that he just inherited the birthright through his own action of not having no desire for it to begin with. But Yahweh and Yahshua let him have it for 33.5 years. And when it came time for him to get the blessing from his father, Isaac, Esau and his tithe, he didn't get it because Isaac pushed the issue. Isaac knew he wasn't worthy of it, but he knew it was time for him to be blessed to receive it. And he knew that Isaac had to go through the motion of calling for this sealing of Esau to carry on the righteous line of Abraham from Isaac. And the mother overheard it, and she stepped in and brought forth the preventive measures with her son Jacob to steal the birthright before Esau get blessed with it. And that's the same thing today in the Antitype. Yahshua worked out a way for the antitypical Jacob, if you will, which that's the part that I represented at Kermit in 2002 at the Passover, to get in charge of the church that night. Or Brother Johnson had been left, and his descendants would have been forever left in charge of the church at Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And so Yahshua had to come from heaven, make a special move to take the reins in his own hand, and to do that. So the transition and everything was made, and now I have to write out practically a book on what's taken place since we left 2000 and there the second Passover 2003. At the second Passover of this 2023 will be 20 years since we left our Father's house. And ironically enough, the type and the prophecy says that we have to return back to our Father's house to fulfill the antitype of the last 20 years while we left there. I've got to write whatever it takes to explain all of that. And so, but it's taken me 20 years being exiled from Kermit, Texas, to get this story, to write it correctly of what's gone on the last 20 years. Having said all that, let's continue our reading. Now we're on page 22, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. It says, here are brought to view the two herdings about to take place. Now, Vicky, I would say these two herdings was about to take place, and that was the year that he wrote this tract in 1937. Well, this is 2023. Those herdings hadn't appeared yet. 86 years now. He was wrote about, and he says about to appear then. It's been 86 years, and we still haven't had those two herdings except they're getting ready. Here are brought to view two hurdens about to take place. So we can fast forward this prophecy up now to 2023 and make it present truth. Make it present tense. Now it's time. Because we're in the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the only time that these two hurdens can take place. One by the winds, the other by the angels. And two commands for the angel, unto the angels. One, that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Revelation 7:1. So when we say that the angel, the two commands to the angel, one that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the United States. And let's bring it even closer down to earth. To blow on Goshen, which is antitypical Egypt, and the spiritual land of Egypt. And that's what Goshen was with Joseph and Jacob when they went down into Egypt. And where Jacob spent his last 17 years was in the land of Goshen. That the good King Pharaoh, the good friendly King Pharaoh that loved Joseph and his father and family, he loved Israel. And he gave them a special land in the land of Egypt. And he closed off the borders and would not allow the Egyptians to even cross over that border of Goshen. That was exclusively for Jacob and his family and his cattle. And said Goshen was the number one choice land of Egypt. It was the best land in all of Egypt. And the children of Israel... That's the land that they occupied until at least 215 years later when they came out of Egypt with Moses and Yahshua. Okay, it says, blow not on the earth, the United States, nor on the sea, that's on the rest of the world, nor on any tree, nor on any minister appointed by Yahweh, by the Holy Spirit around the world. Revelation 7, for the other, that the angels restrain themselves from hurting the earth, the sea, and the trees, till the servants of Yahweh, until the 144,000 are sealed. Revelation 7, 2 and 3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt. For the question arises as to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent with the political strife or something else. See, it has a hyphen between the word represent and political. And you don't have a clue what it's talking about unless you put the actual prepositional phrase in there. And you got to put the right one. So I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to show you why I chose two words, the right prepositional phrase, so that you can understand what I'm talking about. So when V.T. Hallef and all these other religious writers all through the years didn't know the proper prepositional phrase to use between a verb and a noun, then they just drew a line and let the reader figure out which is the most appropriate words that go in between. Well, that's not right. Let's go ahead again. It says, and the work of the angels represents of the political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at war, it is imperative that this twofold work of the hurting should not represent of the political strife. And as the Yahshua says, that at the time of the end, So the time of the end then would designate the 12th parabolic hour. And the 12th parabolic hour has to have a beginning and it has to have an ending, just like the 11 parabolic hours that preceded it had to have. So it says the work of the herding could not represent of the political strife, and as the Yahshua says that at the time of the end, and so let's change that of preposition to a more appropriate preposition, and it says, and I'll read it again. And as the Yahshua says that at the time, in the end time, then in the 12th parabolic hour, and that starts at the beginning until the 12th parabolic hour is over. So you're going to have this strife of nations, this whole 12th parabolic hour, and this 12th parabolic hour began at the Passover of 2002 at Gilead Center. So you figure it out. We've been 21 years now, right at it, in this 12th parabolic hour. And it shall arise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And this is what we've had for the last, well, since 2011, ever since we had the twin bombings of the World Trade Center buildings there in New York in 2001, September the 11th, they call 9/11. That's when the nation started warring against each other. That's when they rose up against each other, and that was just right before the opening of the 12th parabolic hour that all started. Okay, so Matthew 24:7. For it is very clear that the herding by the wind, also the herding by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed. So we haven't had the 144,000 sealed yet, because you've got to have that mark of the beast fully implemented in the Adventist church before you can bring forth the 144,000. And right now they're strongly working on enforcing the Trinity doctrine of the false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead, which is nothing but a symbol of the mark of the beast. And everybody that accepts and believes that doctrine and throws out the doctrine of the 2300 days prophecy of the three angels' messages that was given to the Advent, those that exchange the Trinity doctrine for the 2300 day prophecy doctrine, then they have successfully implemented the seal that represents the mark of the beast, that everyone that accepts that false doctrine of the Adventist church then automatically have taken the mark of the beast. And that's where we're at right now with that Trinity doctrine that our General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist leaders, starting with the President, are sending their ministers all over the world. And believe you me, the General Conference have recruited thousands of new ministers to go start in Africa, just to go and start setting up these here Trinity Doctrine churches in all nations, especially starting with Africa. And Africa has 43 nations within that continent of Africa. And then we've got Adventist Jesuit ministers that have been recruited by the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists here in the United States to go over and set up these evangelical Trinity and doctrine churches. And they have thrown out the King James Version of the Bible. They're using the New King James and the NIV to set up these new Adventist churches in Africa. And all they are is just nothing but sun-worshiping churches. That the sun-worshiping churches have already perfected. And all they're doing, all the Seventh-day Adventist Jesuit leaders are doing is just copying what has already been set down in a blueprint by those evangelical churches worldwide. So it says also, the herding by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back of the time of trouble. Okay, such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1. Accordingly, Yahweh's restraining of the four winds is his holding back of the image of the beast. And I just got through explaining all of that without having reread this, and I don't even remember reading it the first time. But there it is. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. And so I explained to you what it was that's holding back the winds. And that was that the angels that ascended the seal, the 144,000, haven't yet completed this work. But when it does, it says Michael in Daniel 12:1 stands up to deliver the saints. At that time that the last saint is sealed, then Michael can deliver them all at once. And that's the 144,000. And that's found in Daniel chapter 12, the whole chapter. Okay, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints, accordingly Yahweh's restraining of the four winds is his holding back of the image of the beast. You see, I put the preposition of in there, which makes a different meaning altogether than leaving it out. So whenever you put the word of, it just simply means holding back of the particular one thing, that's the image of the beast. But if you just say holding back the image of the beast, then you're saying that the image of the beast is already fully in charge, and that there's only one thing that can hold it back. But if you say of the image of the beast, well, that's what the mark of the beast is. It's of the image. It's not the image of the beast. It's a doctrine of the image of the beast. We'll go back to the top. And Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image, 90 foot tall. And it represented an image of his beast Nebuchadnezzar represented. And that beast was the lion. That was the symbol that Nebuchadnezzar had, was the lion. So whenever Nebuchadnezzar instituted that command for the dedication of the image of the beast, of that big tall temple, steeple, then he was saying, fall down and at the blowing of the trumpet, the music, and worship me, not that image. The image is only a symbol of what I represent. But it says, you fall down and worship, and the one that you're indirectly worshiping is me. And I've had to exalt myself equal with Yahweh in heaven in order to get this kind of worship. Well, what does it say then in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14? It says, Lucifer had fallen into sin, and then after he fell into sin in heaven because of coveting Yahweh's position, then said he was the one that sought to exalt himself above the clouds and put himself equal with Yahweh and to take over Yahweh's throne in heaven. So he thought to do that, and it's in both those chapters. It's important that I am explaining all this stuff, because this is a whole new information of 6,000 years. This is a whole brand new information on the transition from the kingdom that was originally set up in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. And then after they sinned, they had corrupted the kingdom in the Garden of Eden. And it said there in Genesis 3:15, it said that in the last days, I'll put it in my words, or what it means, that the seed of the woman is going to vindicate her loss in the Garden of Eden by crushing the serpent's head. So it's going to be the purified saints in the 12th parabolic hour that's going to be the ones that heaven's going to use to punish Satan for what he did in the Garden of Eden. Well, anyway, it says, according to Yahweh's restraining of the four winds, is holding back of the image of the beast's activity, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints. So if you want to know what's going on in the world today, all this COVID-19 vaccines and viruses that they're creating one after the other, that's their subtle way, the image of the beast people, the Jesuit Catholics, that is following the orders of the Black Pope here in the world, or the Pope Francis of the Vatican, one or the other. They're following direct order of the Catholic Church how to carry out and implement this releasing these winds. But they can't do it without prophecy's permission. Yahweh put the fulfillment of all this in prophecy that set a date and a time and with the people. And there's nothing that Satan can do about it to break that prophecy. But he can still make an attack on it and try to undo it. But until it comes prophetically time for all these changes to take place, they're not going to take place except according to heaven's mandate and prophecy. So it says, against the saints while his restraining of the four angels, that they hurt not. This is holding back the executing of his vengeance, Isaiah 63:1-4. Jeremiah 51:18. Upon the sinners who trouble the church until after the sealing of the 144,000 is completed. Being troubled, these two hurtings bring the time of the trouble such as never was. Now this is where I ended my last sermon. Now we're going to pick up the whole new wordings of the second part of the sermon that I started yesterday. So now we're in the 34 minutes of our second sermon. We only have about 25 more minutes to go to finish out this hour of number 2. Let us continue on now with Revelation 7:1-3. It says, therefore reveals a twofold conflict, the wicked men against Yahweh with the blowing of the wind. Now, it didn't put the preposition with, but I added it. It just said the blowing of the wind. That don't tell you nothing whenever you make a sentence starting with the article. But when you make a sentence starting with a preposition, then you have the clarification of what that sentence is actually talking about. You've got to have that first proper word in place. So I'm going to read that again. Revelation 7:1-3 therefore reveals of a twofold conflict of the wicked men against the Yahweh, the Father in heaven, parentheses, with the blowing of the wind, and with the Yahweh against them. See, I added a prepositional phrase again after Yahweh. That wasn't there. Against them. For the, and now we got parentheses, the angels hurting them. No, it's supposed to be for the four angels hurting them. Then it says, end of preposition, I mean end of those prepositional phrases, and it starts with a whole new sentence with the conjunction but. But is a bad word. So let's do a good word. Verily, though. No, let's leave the comma out. That second. Verily, though, by the blowing of the winds, I add the preposition by, and the herding of the angels, after the servants of the Yahweh are sealed, will bring a time of trouble such as there never was since there was a nation. Yet every one that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered. And the only ones that's going to be delivered are those that are following the ordained system of true worship, that are perfecting righteousness with the ordained system of true worship, of practicing the daily faithfully every day. Otherwise, they're not going to be sealed as the leaders of this everlasting kingdom of David. That is a whole new phenomenon in the universe. Because the first kingdom that was set up in the Garden of Eden failed the world. Because whenever Adam and Eve failed, it has taken 6,000 years then to reclaim this world with righteous people, caused from that devastating sin that Eve was the first one that lead out in committing. And that was called disobedience to Yahweh directly. And Eve was the one that intentionally did it after she was told personally by Yahshua himself when he came to the Garden of Eden. He said, there's an enemy loose in heaven and he's coming to this earth. But so he's only been confined to this tree of life, and that's the only place you can come to. So therefore, Eve, you stay by your husband's side, and you don't come near this tree while he's here. And said, just stay away until his time is up, and then once he's gone, the temptation is gone, the lies are gone, and you'll be free then with your husband to start having children and multiplying the earth with righteous people that will forever be righteous. But Eve has to stay by her husband's side until that test is over with. But just as soon as Yahshua left off commanding her, the first opportunity she got to stray away from her husband, she wandered over there by that tree of life. She just couldn't get it out of her mind. What was so important about that tree of life that she couldn't at least go stand there and look at it? Well, she soon found out. It cost the world 6,000 years of total anarchy and misery, and is going to destroy the whole universe because of it, like one sin. And hundreds of millions of poor, suffering people have suffered endlessly. And the loss of hundreds of millions of lives that can never have an opportunity to be saved because they were born unto a wicked line, and there was no salvation for those folks. This is where we're at today. From these facts, we see that the time of the trouble is held back in order for the safeguarding of the sealing of the 144,000 servants. Let's say, as the very elect be brought down for the worshiping of the image of the beast, or be killed for the refusing. So you see how important it is that Yahshua come and take the reins in his own hand and supervises the harvesting personally of the 144,000. If he doesn't do it, then the world is lost forever. And the 144,000 will end up being brought down to hell as well and taking the mark of the beast. And there won't be no recreation of a new universe. Everything will be over. Yes, Yahweh the Father and the Son will have to destroy this earth and universe and not recreate any more new life ever. And that is not in prophecy. So it says, from these facts we see that this time of the trouble is held back and the order for the safeguard of the 144,000 servants, let's say, as the very elect be brought down for the worshiping of the image of the beast, or be killed for the refusing. So there's going to be a decree to go forth, even though right now, in the future, that they should be killed. They said that they're going to be killed. You said that they should be killed if they don't worship this image of the beast. Since in the revelation of the books of the Bible, meet an end, and that's found in the Acts of the Apostles, page 585, by Dale and G. White, for the sealing of the servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecies. Not only just in Revelation 7, but also it's got to be found in the prophecies of other prophets. So we find out that in the Ezekiel chapter 9, and incidentally, Ezekiel is antitypical Elijah David as well, is envisioned with the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And that's why my wife, myself, and Alan DeLong were delivered in 2002-2003 Kermit, because we ended up signing and crying for all the abomination and idolatrous worship that was going on in the Adventist Church, in the Gilead Center, and we published the information, and we delivered it to the pastor and his wife, and all his sons and family that run Gilead Center. We delivered every one of them the information of what they were doing and told them what they were doing. And I wrote a personal letter type of thing explaining and writing out every name in the Gilead Center that was practicing this idolatrous worship. And delivered it to them first in Judah and in this, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that the Yahweh has no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in the Judah, that's the house of David, and in Israel, that's the 10 tribes of the north that were subjugated under Jeroboam, the oldest son of Solomon, believe it or not. That this prophecy of the purification by the slaughter has never been fulfilled. Therefore, as the marking is as the same as the sealing, by the angel slain, is as the angel's hurting, is the same as the angel's hurting. For this hurting and sealing that which John saw, and the slaughter and the marking which the Ezekiel saw, are again identified as the one and the same sealing of the service of Yahweh, and the same is as the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in vision and testimonies to ministers, page 445, and also testimonies, volume 5, page 211, and volume 3, page 267, that mentions the clothing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as the sealing of Ezekiel 9. Although with the marking and the slaying, Ezekiel 9 includes only the house of David, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, connected up with the 10 tribes, Israel, that worshipped in Samaria, one of the 10 tribes, for the herding by the winds and the herding by the angel. Revelation 7 includes all of the world, both in the earth and the sea, which is the old country, each of which is indicative of a different locality. For the sea in the realm of the nature with the storehouse, home of the water, is therefore in the realm of the symbol, the birthplace of the nation, the old country. The earth, the opposite of the sea, is correspondingly a domain away from the old country. It is located under the zone and the symbol of the two-horned beast coming up, not out of the sea, the old country, Europe, but out of the earth, the United States, Revelation 13:11. As the only place where the trees naturally grow, and that's on land, with a dirt foundation, and as, according to the Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figurative of the rooters. Therefore, trees in this instance represents the ancient man, Ezekiel 9:6, that is the ministers, the latest ministers in charge of the Seventh-day Adventist Church up to the 12th parabolic hour. And that's what Brother Johnson was, the last ancient man and the first ancient man to be judged to make this transition that Kermit took us 2002. And I was one of the ancient men before the house. But because I was there lifting up my voice against the idolatry, then I came to the judgment. That's the reason I'm sitting here today to explain to you this prophecy. Because I came to this first judgment there in Kermit, Texas with Brother Johnson. He didn't come through, I come through, and I got the transition of the guard shifted from him to me before the house of Ezekiel 9:6. A fact which reveals that in this period, the church, his headquarters, are in the two-horned beast's dominion of the new world. I put the preposition of the new world, which is designated as the United States of America. For the earth, in the light of the clear-cut facts for us, we see that the main object of the sealing, or marking of the service of Yahweh, is for the cleansing of the church from sin and sinners, so that she may be able to stand strong against the image beast in the time of the trouble. So, whenever the Gilead sinners, the house of David, the little stone hewn out of Mount God's hand, Daniel chapter 2, that strikes the image on the feet, and that's the image that contains the mark of the beast. Now keep that in mind. And it's represented by those 10 toes, which represents all the wicked nations of the world that have come together for one purpose, and that is to implement this mark of the beast. All the 10 means universal. All the wicked nations of the world have come together and joined to each other for one purpose, and that is to destroy the 144,000. And enforce the mark of the beast. But they have to destroy the 144,000 before they can enforce the mark of the beast, the decree for the mark of the beast. And as long as the 144,000 are out there and still need to be sealed, then you're not going to have this mark of the beast. It's going to be at the time that the 144,000 are sealed to protect against taking this mark of the beast. So this is good news. Unveil. When this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Yeshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the mixture of by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning. Isaiah 4:3-4. When this special work of the purification, of the putting away of the sin, Now that's the singular sin of the implementing this Trinity doctrine, of this false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead, which is nothing but a false narrative of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A false interpretation. And it's set up as a religion, as a pure doctrine that has to be worshipped and believed as a lie by those that accept it. Will only accept it and believe it, and it'll be on the fact that they have. The Bible says, "Don't believe no lie for the truth." So that's one thing it says, an abomination is if you believe a lie for the truth, then you have committed a great abomination. When this special work of the purification of the filling away of the sin of the believing in this false doctrine of the Trinity, and that's what it's talking about, among the Yahweh's people in the Seventh-day Adventist, is accomplished. When that is finally accomplished worldwide, which the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist are working a day and night, 24 hours a day around the world. They sleep day and night because daylight goes on 24 hours a day in the world. And our General Conference have got our ministers circling the globe, and they're offsetting each other by sleeping at night when their work comes to an end. But they keep that work going 24/7 of implementing this false doctrine of the Catholic Church. So that's how desperate Satan is to get this thing accepted by 100% by Yahweh's people, so that Yahweh can condemn them and destroy them, and then that mark of the beast will have full sway. When this special work of the purification of putting away of the sin of the believing in the false doctrine, Catholic doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead, the Trinity, is accomplished, then the Seventh-day Adventist Church, when she comes through that and escapes that judgment and don't receive that mark of the beast, then she is purified, and she is to enter upon her final conflict, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. So when this Trinity doctrine has been decreed and implemented and tried to be enforced by our General Conference, and it failed, well, that's when the purified House of David emerges from the Adventist Church with the 144,000. And they're clean now to go forward, because they don't have any false doctrine that they've been forced to believe, except they only accept the true ordained system of true worship. That's what they're sealed by and purified and sanctified by. And they have put all sin out of their they've done a special work of the purification, putting away of all sin from among them. And now they're qualified then to take over all nations of the earth and enforce true pure doctrine for the saving of the remnant that's left in all these nations. That's all it's designed for. And then once the remnant's all saved out of all these nations by the 144,000, Jeremiah 51:8-20, you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I use to thresh the nation and everything they stand for. For the Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion. Mount Zion at the 12th hour, that's the house of David. And upon her assemblies, that's all of her church locations that has been set up around the world, with a cloud and a smoke by the day and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. So you're going to have Yahshua in that cloud again, but this time it's going to cover the whole world. And the remnant that's under this cloud around this whole globe are going to be protected day and night. until all the wicked has been destroyed, until all the remnant has been harvested, then will the end come. As Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, of a cloud and smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. So wherever there is any glory of this branch of this purified kingdom of David rises up in all nations around the world, unless it's going to be a cloud, it's going to be a cloud, and it's going to be called, and each one of these places is going to be called a place of glory. So it's going to be a defense for every one of these places of glory in the earth. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. And they shall call them the holy people. Hey, here we go. Let's do that again. And they shall call them as the holy people. As is a preposition that was left out. For the redeemed of the Yahshua, and thou shalt be called as a sought out, as a city not forsaken. Isaiah 4, 5, 6, Isaiah 62, 12. For the entire church acting as the one, blending in the perfect union, to be as a living, active missionary agency moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that the apostles did, all that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. For his workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Yahshua as the house of David, as the power of which was seen in the life of the Yahshua, will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 8, page 47, Volume 7, page 33, Volume 9, page 33. Then it shall come to pass, saith Yahshua, that I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, just like I did the children of Israel out of Egypt, as that rock in the cloud, I use my power, Yahshua says, through Moses and Aaron to put the plagues upon Pharaoh. That was the final thing that broke his back to make him deliver Israel, that Israel go out of Egypt. So you're going to have that same kind of effort today put forth to try to keep the spiritual Israel today from coming out of this here, this spiritual bondage of sin of Egypt, which starts right here in the United States. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take you away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my... And you shall keep my judgments, and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. This brings in about this our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. There are things as the top of this earth sifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in a high. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe wherever they're called, and when time has seven days, the earth is no more, or shall be. I believe that the Yeshua who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. When he changed, he can preach me a new life is mine. That's why the cross ever stands. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever they're called, in a time of 7 days, and earth is no more. I believe that this love, this great mystery, surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me as to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe wherever they're called, and in time has heaven been. Okay.